Blog Talk Radio.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are asleep, who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steve, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate? That is the question. Texas medical professionals refuse to vaccinate for COVID-19, and their jobs are at stake if they don't. That is the premise for today's show. As we know, the goal with vaccination appears to be at least vaccinate enough people to eradicate or create herd immunity. But how do you create herd immunity if you can be reinfected by the virus or variant of the virus? A lot of questions here with this vaccine, and I can understand why these people are hesitant to take it, but they claim that they don't want to take it because the FDA not approved this vaccine, which we'll get into further down the line here. They say, hey, it's not FDA approved. I'm not taking that. These are medical professionals, so they put a lot of stock in the FDA. From the Mayo Clinic, herd immunity occurs when a large portion of a community, right, like the herd of cattle, the sheep, and all that stuff, right, becomes immune, right, to a disease, making the spread of disease from person to person unlikely. As a result, the whole community becomes protected, not just those who are immune. However, there are some major problems with relying on community infection to create herd immunity to a virus that causes COVID-19 reinfection. It's not clear how long you are protected from getting sick again after recovering from COVID-19 if you have antibodies. It's possible that you could get infected with the virus again, right? I said the health impact. Experts estimate that in the U.S., 70% of the population, more than 200 million people, would have to recover from COVID-19 caught the pandemic. This number of infections could lead to serious complications and millions of deaths, especially among older people and those who have existing health conditions. The healthcare system would, as you've seen, become overwhelmed, right? Herd immunity can also be reached when enough people have been vaccinated, they say, against a disease and have developed protective antibodies against future infection. Unlike the natural infection method, vaccines create immunity without causing illness or resulting complications. I don't know why they said that, but anyway. Using the concept of herd immunity, vaccines have successfully controlled contagious diseases such as smallpox, polio, diphtheria, rubella, and many others, as you probably know. Right? That's the upside of vaccines, as they control these diseases, right? They create immunity without causing illness or resulting in complications. That's what they said. I'm reading what the Mayo Clinic is saying, so we'll get into this other stuff later on. Using the concept of herd immunity, vaccines have successfully controlled, right, contagious diseases, right? It's not clear how long COVID-19 vaccines will protect you from COVID-19. Here we go again. Further research is needed to see how much the COVID-19 vaccines reduce transmission of the COVID-19 virus. Also, research suggests that the COVID-19 vaccines may have lower efficacy against some of the variants of the COVID-19 virus, so they might have a lower effect, right? New variants, which could be more resistant to vaccine, are regularly emerging. That requires an investigation right there. So, but we're gonna keep going. We just gonna try to I'm trying to stay focused. And but this thing is, I think, is a multi-head beast that we're dealing with. From the American Medical Association Journal of Ethics, legally mandated vaccination emerged in the U.S. in the late 19th century during the smallpox epidemic in Massachusetts. The Supreme Court upheld a Massachusetts law in 1905, ruling that state police powers include the right to protect the public against infectious disease by enacting universal vaccination requirements, paving the way for all states to adopt immunization legislation. All right, so there you have the Supreme Court, right, saying, hey, states can do it, right? Laws requiring vaccination for school entry were upheld in 1922 by the Supreme Court. Modern childhood immunization initiatives began with efforts to eliminate indigenous transmission of measles in the U.S. in the 1970s. Schools were major sites of disease transmission. That's very important because we closed the schools here. And the schools are about to be open maybe in September, and we have all these multi-variants of this COVID-19 virus, coming into the states, in the world, actually, because there's schools all over the world. So that's a very interesting scenario, because it sounds like we're back where we started at when we first heard about the coronavirus. Anyway. Schools were major sites of disease transmission, and evidence showed that states with school immunization laws had rates of measles 40 to 51% lower than states without such laws. As a result, school vaccination statutes were broadened in the late 1970s and more strictly enforced. Right? So, hey, you gotta have these vaccinations because it cuts down on this. We have evidence. Right? So, as I said, the these people at this hospital, they had a problem because this current, vaccines aren't FDA approved. So, I was just wondering, the FDA just had a show about the FDA. So that, and FDA is notorious for approving things for customer use that are harmful, that have been proven to be harmful. And they have, taken some of these things off the market. They go, but to me, the goal should be to prevent these things from being marketed to the consumer, to prevent the unknowing public from being exposed to these dangerous items, whatever they are, medical, whatever. Yet some medical professionals and laymen are declining to receive the COVID-19 vaccine because the FDA hasn't approved of it, even though they have a history of approval for approving things that have been harmful, right? I said most recently, Zantac, they're taking off, and I think I saw something for Zyrtec for children, taking off, having recalls for them. Anyway, death or injury from vaccine use is not unheard of. The theory is that the benefits outweigh the risk. Some will have adverse reactions to the vaccine and or adjunctives. Those are the things that they add to the vaccine. There was a discussion about mercury being added to vaccines to increase the shelf life, and that mercury causes autism in children. And I think it was Dr. Pittard specified that black people don't have the ability to clear that Mercury as like Caucasians can clear it better than black people. Can they think it's something like that about that? Anyway, it was affecting the black people even more. Anyway, it affects children, so even affected all children, really, but more to black people, children. Anyway, so the in a theory, a larger percent of those vaccinated will have a positive effect from being vaccinated, and the disease will be eradicated, theoretically, right? I mean, people know anybody with smallpox. In the case of COVID-19, the vaccine will be theoretically, the vaccine will theoretically prevent the vaccinated from being becoming seriously ill or dying if they become infected. They come to, even though it's called a vaccine, and we think of vaccines as eradicating of you, preventing you from being able to catch something. This COVID-19 apparently, vaccine is not able to prevent you from catching it. They say it will prevent you from becoming seriously ill or death. So that will free up a lot of hospital space, and people probably, I don't know if you probably get better care, because there were a lot of reasons why people weren't getting proper care in the hospitals also. Somebody might get better care. Less patients, the more time they have, they could spend on the patients that they do have, but that's another story. The RNA vaccine is new, and for some, very scary. It hasn't gone through the trials vaccines are normally expected to. And it hasn't gotten the FDA approval, which is probably why the FDA has not approved any COVID-19 vaccines, because it hasn't gone through the, let's call it, rigorous trials that it takes to get their approval. So this is just my assumption here. I'm just, I don't know. But that's the only thing I could come up with. They say, hey, we can't put our stamp on it because we didn't look at it the way we need to look at it to give it our approval. No one wants to risk their life, health, and safety to become an experiment for the profit of Big Pharma. You know, the pharmaceutical companies are spearheading this whole vaccine thing, right? Hence, trust is a huge issue with vaccines, and especially a vaccine that has not been through the normal trials of efficacy, right? Individuals can't control the spread of an infectious disease or guarantee the efficacy or safety of a vaccine. People seek to control the only thing they can control, their own bodies. The decision to vaccine or not is theirs. Death or an allergic reaction after being an acute allergic reaction after being vaccinated is not unheard of, but not the expectation or goal. The goal is to eradicate a disease and save lives. I would like to think that was true. I've heard other diabolical explanations, like population control, but I don't want to have a show about, I don't want to get stuck on population control. Just want to talk about people's, this FDA situation. And these medical professionals put a lot of stock in the FDA and people's decision not to vaccinate. Why? And, just look at some of the things that impact on that. And that will be impacted by that decision to or decision not to. And there are many things. You could decide to get the vaccine, become ill. Saying a lady had palsy on her face. Some people became ill. Some people might die. We just hope that the people honestly document cause of death. And because there have been some suspicion around the documentation of cause of death around COVID-19 also. So let's hope that the cause of death after being vaccinated is documented, if it's correctly, truthfully, if it is related to the vaccine. We need to know that so that we can tweak this or get rid of it and find out what else we can do. We don't want to kill people. I hope we don't. That goal is not to kill people. It's not a diabolical goal to kill people by vaccinating the world, get the population down, like they say. I'm going on a theory that they're trying to save lives, like they did with the polio and and all that other stuff, smallpox and things like that. I'm going with that assumption, basically. From the PMC, U.S. National Library of Medicine, and the National Institute of Health. Although the evidence supports the safety of vaccines, there are rare instances where causal relationships between vaccination and death have been established or a plausible theoretical risk exists, right? Vaccines are tested rigorously, they said, right? And monitored among the safest medical products in use. They say they are amongst the safest medical products that are used. Millions of vaccinations are administered to children and adults in the United States a year, right? Serious adverse effects are uncommon, and deaths are caused by vaccines are rare. So they didn't say that people don't have adverse reactions and death doesn't occur. They said that it's rare. So that's a case of the benefits grossly outnumbering the risk. And I understand that death is a risk nobody wants to take. I get that. Many vaccines have been determined to rarely cause acute allergic reaction. The risk of allergic reaction is less than 2 cases per million doses. All right? Of vaccines administered to children. These are just the regular vaccines, y'all. I'm not even talking about COVID-19. All right? Because, these allergic reactions are serious and can be fatal. Death and other complications can be prevented with rapid treatment using effective medications, including epinephrine, cortisoids, and beta agonists. I never heard of that. But then I wouldn't need it because I'm not in the medical field and I'm not in the habit of having allergic reactions. A 10-year review of claims to the U.S. National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. That's where you get injured by a vaccine. You file here to get a monetary payment of not a reward, because there's no reward for an injury. But, if you're suing, you got to sue through there. You can't sue the pharmaceutical company. They passed a law about that for that to protect them. Can't sue Big Pharma. Right? They know that 5 cases of death from allergic reactions after vaccination. Another study published in 2003 using an electronic health record database found that after 7,644,049 doses of vaccination in children and adolescents, there were 5 possible cases of vaccine-associated acute allergic reactions and none resulted in death. The CDC, right, Center for Disease and Control, right, Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends screening patients for contraindications and precautions, including allergy history prior to vaccination. However, since this acute allergic reaction following the vaccination is not always predictable or preventable, it also recommends that healthcare providers be prepared to treat medical emergencies, including allergic reactions, if they occur. That makes a lot of sense, since that allergic reaction could cause death or impairment or whatever it's uncomfortableness or pain or whatever it does, right? From the World Health Organization, they say first, no vaccine is 100% effective. To make vaccines safer than the disease, the bacteria or virus is killed or weakened, right? For reasons related to the individual, not all vaccinated persons develop immunity. Most routine childhood vaccines are effective 85 to 95%. Okay. So that means safe does not only mean absolutely safe. It means safe means relatively safe, right? Safe does not only mean absolutely safe. It means safe means relatively safe. Thought to be safe for most people. Of course, you will never know if the vaccine is safe for you until you actually take the vaccine. My cousin said it's about making choices. He's right about that. And it seems we have been making choices to vaccinate or not to vaccinate for quite some time. Many have been trusting vaccines and the vaccine makers with the lives of their children, and it has not always been an absolute situation. I get it. No matter how rare, no one wants to be counted amongst the adversely affected, but it appears to be the risk everyone takes. Everyone who has been vaccinated has taken this risk. And I'm just saying that to say that even with the COVID vaccine, it's the same tune. You still want to take a risk. Right? It's a risk. Same thing. You know, acute allergic reaction and risk of death. We don't know if it's going to kill you or not. Anybody tells you they know it won't kill you, I wouldn't trust them. Because you can't know that. Here we are in a pandemic, and Big Pharma has developed a couple of vaccines to help save lives. Yet, even some medical professionals are skeptical about taking the vaccine because not enough testing has been done for the efficacy and safety of the vaccines, or the FDA has not approved the vaccine, right? It's the same thing because they assume the FDA is sterile. They're going to make sure this thing, right, before they put their stamp on it, it's not going to kill people. It's not going. If it does, it's going to be so minute. It's going to be, not because of the vaccine kills. It's going to be relative to the individual, which, you know, people might have pre-existing conditions. Or for whatever reason, it had an adverse effect on that individual, which you can never know, and which is a risk that we've been taking ever since we've been taking our children to be vaccinated, ever since we were taken to be vaccinated, ever since we ourselves took ourselves to be vaccinated. You take a risk all the time. So maybe that's why the scientific community is looking at this vaccination, COVID vaccination thing as, hey, what is the problem? They've been doing this forever. Well, some people anyway. But some people do not vaccinate. Some may argue, which benefit are they referring to? Since the vaccine industry is said to be about a $24 billion industry. And I think that was back in 2016. All right? So, you know, let me hit this up. I'm trying to touch all bases, but I don't want to stay here. So, the business, 2016 said, the business of vaccine is soon to become a major source of profit for the world's largest pharmaceutical corporation. A press release was released in January of 2016. Published by MarketWatch.com, says that Technovo, one of the leading technology research and advisory companies in the world, predicts that pharmaceutical corporations who produce vaccines will reach an estimated $61 billion in profits by 2020. They said today the market is worth close to $24 billion. The report titled Global Human Vaccines Marketed in 2016, right, to 2020 gives an in-depth analysis of the possible revenues and embarking market trends globally, according to a press release, right? The report study indicates that the introduction of new products is fueling the growth of the market. The introduction of new products is fueling the growth of the market. Moreover, the significant expansion of the current product offerings is also expected to boost the market growth due to the increasing prevalence rates of various infectious diseases such as diphtheria, influenza, hepatitis, pneumonia diseases, meningococcal diseases like meningitis diseases. There has been a notable increase in the use of vaccines across the globe. They ain't even mentioned COVID-19, right? Because it wasn't no COVID-19. That's meant in 2016. But COVID was on its way. CNN Business, 12/11/2020. Wall Street analysts are projecting Pfizer and Moderna will generate a $32 billion dollars in COVID-19 vaccine revenue next year alone. CNN, COVID vaccine profits meant 9 new pharma billionaires. Topping the list of new billionaires are Moderna CEO Stephen Bancel and Yugor Sahin, CEO of Biotech, which has produced a vaccine with Pfizer. Both CEOs are now worth around $4 billion, according to an analyst by the People's Vaccine Alliance, a campaign group that includes Oxfam, UNAIDS, Global Justice Now, and Amnesty International. Senior executives from China's CanSino Biologics and early investors in Moderna have also become billionaires on paper as shares skyrocket partly in expectation of profits earned from COVID-19 vaccines, which also bode well for companies' future prospects. The analysis was compiled using data from the Forbes Rich List. You made Forbes, you got some dough. No dust in your pocket. Moderna's share price has gained more than 700% since February 2020, while Biotech has surged 600%. CanSino Biologics stock is up about 440% over the same period. The company's single-dose COVID-19 vaccine was approved for use in China in February. Activists said the wealth generated highlighted the stark inequality that has resulted from the pandemic. The 9 new billionaires are worth a combined $19.3 billion. Okay? So that's just another angle. From the New York Times, the Texas House of the Workers suspended over mandatory vaccine policy, back to what we started off with. They said nearly 200 staff members at a Houston area hospital were suspended for not following a policy that requires employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Their suspensions followed a protest by dozens of workers . The hospital, the Houston Methodist, they told employees they had to be vaccinated, right? They didn't do it. and 117 Houston Methodist employees filed a lawsuit against their employer over the vaccine policy. While the Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommends healthcare workers get flu shot, and some hospital systems require it, few companies have required COVID-19 shots, despite federal government's guidance that says employers can mandate vaccines for on-site workers. All right, because this thing seems to be coming down the line. Jeff Bridges, a nurse who led the Houston Methodist protest, has cited the lack of full FDA approval for the shot as a reason. Jeff Bridges, that's the guy from Sea Hunt. Boy, that's his son. Anyway, Jennifer Bridges, a nurse who led the Houston Methodist protest, has cited the lack of full FDA approval for the shot as a reason she won't get vaccinated. Seems like a person in the medical field would understand what's going on to me. So either she understands or she doesn't get it. You know, what is it? Which one is it? Vaccine hesitancy has been high among U.S. frontline healthcare workers. Why is that? Surveys show that nearly half remain unvaccinated as of mid-March, despite being amongst the first to become eligible for the shots in December. A March survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation found that healthcare workers had concerns about the vaccine's newness and the possibility of side effects, both of which are common reasons for waiting to be vaccinated. So what are you going to do, fire all these workers? Then people do get sick, you're not going to have enough workers? Like, this is a catch-22 right here. You're going to, you know, because these workers have been laid off without pay. They basically are saying you can't eat, you can't pay your bills unless you get this shot. Federal government said you can do it, right? Supreme Court said you can do it, right? States can do that. Federal government said employers can do that. So they're basically saying that they can stop you from eating, from living, if you don't get this vaccine. Is that okay? Especially essential workers? You don't need them in the hospital? Because that's what you're saying when you say that. If they don't, they're afraid to get that vaccine. They have cause to not to get it. You know, fire them. You know, fire the medical professionals that we need. The hell with COVID. There's other things that's going on. COVID's not the only thing going around. We need medical professionals. Last time I know, or do we have an abundance of them that they can? Is that something that's doable? That hey, we don't need them. You can get rid of 200 at a hospital, and you still have enough. Maybe I don't get it because I really don't know. Those who did not meet the hospital vaccination deadline were placed on a 2-week unpaid suspension. Unpaid suspension. If they still do not meet the hospital vaccination requirements by June 21st, where we at now? The 12th. Houston Methodist will initiate the employee termination process. We don't need you. Right? On Monday, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas signed a law prohibiting businesses or government entities in the state from requiring vaccine passports or digital proof of vaccination. Joining states such as Florida and Arkansas, it's unclear how or if the new law will affect employer mandates like Houston Methodist Hospital. Some industries, including aviation employers, are taking the middle ground approach. Delta Airlines, which is distributing vaccine out of its flight museum in Atlanta, said it in May that it would strongly encourage employees to get vaccinated and require it for new employees. United Airlines, after considering a blanket mandate, everybody got to get it, right? Said last week that it would require anyone hired in the United States after June 15th to provide proof of vaccination no later than a week after starting. Expectation exceptions may be made for those who have medical or religious reasons for not getting vaccinated, the company said. That's what the company said, because of those are religious exceptions can be overruled. I've read based on whatever kind of condition, you know, is going on, whatever thing is going on. Anyway, but so let me get this right. These employees, right, employers, they saying, so exceptions are made for those who have medical or religious reasons for not getting vaccinated. So the individual has no power over him or her own life, over his or her own life. It will take a religious order, which is a man-made organization, right, or a doctor, another man, to testify or verify a medical reason you should not take the vaccine. Anybody but you has the right to object to you receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. That is indicative of having no individual right, no individual power. You need permission, authorization, validation to do what you feel is in your children or your best interest. You aren't intelligent enough to make that decision. Sounds like a slave to me. Sounds like someone owns you and has authority over you, over your own mind. We have a caller. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Yes, I'm calling about in the beginning of the year or last year, me and my friend said, we ain't taking this vaccine, we ain't going with it. But we decided for many reasons to be our seniors, 70 years age and plus, and we're the most vulnerable one that was getting this pandemic. Look at the numbers of those that died in the senior place, and look at the numbers now. So that and the science of it, to me, the many people of color and Native Americans that worked on this project for 10 years because they knew something like this was going to come. They've been working on it for years. So for many people, especially Christian, they were praying for something to stop this disease, stop it in its track. And the numbers show us people are not dying as much, number one. Number two, if there's any numbers going to be higher, it's going to be in those Republican states that, you know, say you're not going to tell us what to do. They have the proof of it. When they look at the thing, people in those red states are not taking it. Yet, their former president, Trump, and his wife and family got the vaccination in January, very quietly. He could have made a difference since his administration was one of the people that discovered this, whatever. But he quietly did this. He did this quietly, got vaccination. Also, I remember growing up hearing about polio. We had to take a sugar cube or whatever they did. We were in elementary school, and we don't have no polio today. So right. Vaccination works. You look at the numbers. No, you don't like it, and those jobs that do that, well, people got to make a decision on that individually. But the proof is in the pudding, as they say. Polio today, for the most part, is not happening in this country and the world because right. They gave some of those medicines to people in other countries, just like they're going to give this vaccination, 500 million at a certain point. So it's look at the figures. All I can say is pray, look at the figures, and if not getting vaccination is worth losing your job, because the next job might say to you, we will hire you, but you have to be vaccinated.
Right.
You know, life is full of choices. I mean, we fighting right now just to have the right to vote. And they're trying to take that from us. So those are the battles that we should be taking. Choose your battles. Choose your battles. Those companies can do that. And you have the right to say goodbye from the job. But then you have to look at the bigger picture. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Right.
Okay, thank the caller for a testimony. So, religion. So you need a religious order or a doctor that, you know, validate you, your decision. So, religion is an organized belief system recognized by the state, right? Or not, maybe. I'm sure there are religions that might not be recognized by the state. Why do you need a religious reason for not taking the vaccine? Why is that okay? Suppose a person is an atheist. He can't get a religious reason for that. What you personally believe is of no value or authority regardless of the obvious information provided and available. The opinion or law discriminates against the belief and or opinion of the individual, the taxpayer, and the voter. And, hey, apparently atheists or people who are not a part of a religious order, in which there are many people that way, for many reasons. Now, your livelihood or basically your life is threatened, held ransom, in an effort to force you to receive the COVID-19 vaccine by some employers. I say this is just the beginning of the agenda, crusade, or campaign to vaccinate everyone, to control everyone. And I can see how that could be worked that way, you know, because you take something, it's a situation where it's best, theoretically, it's best that everybody get vaccinated to eradicate. Or in this case, they're not really talking about eradication of COVID-19. Because they're saying if you had it, built antibodies, you still might get it. If you get the vaccine, you still can get it. So the only thing that they're pretty sure of, I'm gonna say. I don't even know if they're pretty sure, but they're sure that you can catch it again. You could catch it again, and you know. You won't be become deathly ill. So, like the lady said, it's a choice you have to make. I've seen some people in the same household have COVID, and one person doesn't have it, which is, I haven't heard anybody talk about anything like that, but I've seen it twice, which is weird. Because I'm thinking this is a pretty contagious thing. Your spouse has COVID, you don't. How is that? Is that a miracle? Well, what is that? Anyway, I remember people identifying COVID-19 as meaning certificate of vaccination ID, something like that. I think the 19, I don't know what that step stood for, the year or something like that, I don't know. This thing didn't come out to 20, though, right? Anyway, and some of it, and some said it wasn't true. I say we were right on point because that day has come. People are asking for proof that you received this vaccination. Some employers may be asking you that. That's maybe not in a lot of places, but it's coming. John Hopkins. They said there are the other advantages that school-based proof vaccination offers is for people who have some medical reason to not be vaccinated. All vaccine mandates include a medical exemption for people whose health would be impaired because of an allergic, right, anaphylactic, right, allergy to something in the vaccine. That's an adjunctive, right, thing they put in there, something they put in there, right, or because they are immunocompromised or any other reason. When you go to school and show your proof of vaccination certificate or show that you've been exempted and you are not vaccinated, it means the public health officials have a record of who is and who isn't vaccinated, of course. In the event of an outbreak of one of these vaccines, preventable diseases, they can identify you and isolate you, right, from anybody else, right? From Salon.com, this is, ladies, my family won't get the vaccine because they say it hasn't been FDA approved. There's growing risk between me and my son-in-law, who said the COVID-19 vaccines are not safe because they have not been FDA approved. What makes our risk even more difficult, his wife and grown kids with families themselves will also not get the vaccine because the FDA approval issue. She's, wondering, what should she do about this? It's like you said, it's a decision you have to make for yourself. And I understand, you know, the whole thing about the FDA approval, but like I'm saying, a whole lot of things have been approved by the FDA, and they ain't been the best things, you know. They ain't been harmless. And, you know, we have been able to eradicate some disease. I can't say I'm not at the risk or peril to some people who may have or been exposed to a vaccine, you know, because they are adverse effects to vaccines that are relative to the individual, your physical condition, and how you react to the vaccine or the adjunctives, the additives in the vaccine, which I haven't heard anybody speak about any kind of additives in the COVID-19 vaccine. That would be something to explore also. So you say they gave her an answer. You said to your son-in-law, this is a reply to what the lady is saying. I said, your son-in-law is saying the COVID-19 vaccines are not safe because they have not been approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration. While partly true, they said this is a classic example of how misinformation spreads. Technically, the COVID-19 vaccines haven't been approved by the FDA. However, all three vaccines available in the U.S. have been granted emergency use authorization, known as EUA, right? So they received this emergency. We got to use this as all we got, right? It's like, you know, seeing the movies, somebody chewed to come in the house. Somebody grabbing pot or something. They grab whatever they got. They use it to defend themselves, right? So these vaccines is all we got, right? EUAs, and by the way, aren't limited to vaccines, right? It's the other things get emergency authorization also too, right? Okay. The FDA usually takes years to formally approve a vaccine, but in the coronavirus pandemic, the priority was to get a safe vaccine in as many people's arms as quickly as possible. Hence, the emergency use of authorization, right? Somebody broke into our house, and we got to use what we got to defend ourselves, right? For example, clinical trials must be done on tens of thousands of study participants to generate at least 2 months of sufficient scientific data needed for the FDA to determine a vaccine's safety and efficacy, right? That's if it's safe and if it's effective, right? In order to apply for a full FDA approval, a company needs to show at least 6 months of data. Since Pfizer now has that, recently submitted an application for full approval. The FDA is expected to take at least a few weeks to review it, according to the NBC News. Right? That's very interesting right there. It has not been years of this vaccine. So has somebody been working with this vaccine before this coronavirus hit? Once the FDA formally approves the Pfizer vaccine, you'll get it. While it's not ideal for your family members to wait, it's better than a straight out refusal of getting vaccinated, they say, right? Okay, so from provocative thought, you might say that is an easy fix. All the FDA had to do is approve the vaccine. I look for that to come down the road to gain the trust of those refusing to get the vaccine due to the absence of the FDA approval. How did it go from taking years to formally approve to at 6 months of data, or clinical trials must be done on tens of thousands of study participants to generate at least 2 months of sufficient scientific data needed for the FDA to determine a vaccine safety and efficacy. I'm sure they have met the 6 months of data and clinical trials done on 10,000 of participants, right, by now. Huffington Post said people began receiving the first doses of the Pfizer biotech coronavirus vaccine in the United States, right? USA. That was in December 2020, right? HuffPost, right? People given vaccine distributed and administered by the federal agency. This is just federal agencies, right? Over 2.5 million in Veterans Health Administration. Over 1.5 million in the Department of Defense. Over 500,000 in Indian Health Care. 91,441 in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. As for no adequate approval and available alternative, that is debatable. It is suspicious that there are no adequate approved and available alternatives, and yet Big Pharma has made at least three vaccines that have been authorized for use but not been approved. What about those so-called non-traditional alternatives? I'm not going to go into that. I'm just going to keep talking about this, the decision to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, because henceforth, we, based on the information, and we don't know how real, how accurate the information is, and this vaccination is not approved because it hasn't gone through the trials or required by the FDA. Of course, people are suspicious that somebody developed a vaccine, which usually takes years, in about months. They said that came from a lot of hard work from everybody, all the scientists working together. So what's the difference between FDA approval and authorization, right? And basically, we've basically been talking about it. Approval. No COVID-19 vaccine has been approved, right? Approval means that FDA has officially decided that a product is safe and effective for its designated use. This is very important. This is why these people don't want to take this vaccine. The FDA, that's what approval means. Hey, this is safe and effective for its design and use. They say that involves rigorous reviews of all available data on the product and can take several months, right? I think we've been in this, I don't know how long we've been taking this vaccine, since December. That's not a lot of time that has passed since we've been even using the vaccines. The data must be coming from the people who took the vaccine, who authorization is to speed things up in an emergency, like a pandemic, right? The FDA can grant emergency use, EUA, right? Authorize the the product's use, usually urgent, under urgent circumstances, if the benefits of its use outweigh any known or potential risks. Any known or potential risks. That is where these medical professionals are, okay, said known. What is it? Apparently, this can be a whole lot of things you don't know because it hasn't gone through the trial period. Right? The vaccine that combats a global pandemic is an ideal candidate for an EUA. So we can't afford to lose any more time in the midst of a crisis with an ever-climbing death toll. Right? Now, I mean, so-called conspiracy theorists would say, hey, that's what they use, fear, to get you to do it, to use, to comply, right? The FDA granted the EUA for a Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine, and is likely to do the same for Moderna vaccine, as long as no serious harm from the vaccines are discovered. They'll maintain authorization until the pandemic is over, right? So they got a at the point that the pharmaceutical companies will decide if they want to seek FDA approval. Remdesivir, an antiviral drug, was granted an EUA for COVID treatment in May before gaining approval in October. That was the one I heard that people in intensive care was given that. Remdesivir, the people in the hospital were given that. I don't know if it's intensive care or just the COVID unit, but they gave them that. They said that they got good results with that, with Remdesivir. So there's another drug that was given an EUA, right? They gained approval in October. I guess the difference would be of the RNA, that whole newness of the whole RNA, DNA kind of like thing. Maybe that's it. Maybe, people just, hey, wait a minute. This is some new stuff that's, graduating, going from the 6th grade to the 12th grade without taking a test. I don't trust that. So I get that. And the fact that the FDA has approved medicines that have been harmful. It's not a secret. You can look it up yourself. They have a list of recalls and things like that. So the expedited process for authorizing the COVID-19 vaccine doesn't mean decisions are being made willy-nilly, they say. They ain't just skipping them to the 12th grade graduation. FDA reviewers still had pour over all the currently available data from clinical trials before signing off on the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine. So I know one of the things people were complaining about, there's no long-term trial. But if you've taken this vaccine, you are part of the long-term trial. So we'll find out, how this affects us throughout the years. You've always been a part of long-term trials. Anything you take, you put in your body. It might have an adverse effect on you, maybe not your children, maybe not your siblings. It may just have that effect on you. We don't know, but we're going to find out. And this is the lady said on the line. It says she said there's evidence of this vaccine. I don't know which one the people took, the elderly took. The death rate going down. Yeah, I know some people might argue about the whole thing about the numbers being on. Exaggerated, and you know, giving people changing the death certificates, calling COVID-19 deaths on for people who have not died from COVID-19 death. Not going to try to argue that here tonight. The conspiracy thing, I'm going to mention it because it's relative. But I'm not going to a whole thing about the conspiracy theory, you know. We don't know how things are being documented and what is being documented as what. We'll never know because we're not there. It's too big a thing for us to know, to really know. You just have to believe, make a decision, right, and go for it. That's what you're going to do. These people made a decision, hey, I ain't taking that. I need some more science behind this before I decide to take that. These medical professionals, that's the most alarming part about it, is that a lot of the people who are in the field are not taking it. I guess that's the most alarming part about the whole thing. So anyway, so there lies the issue. The FDA is not giving vaccines its stamp of approval and safety. They're saying, this is all we have, and we don't have time to approve it, right? Don't have time to go through all those things. We think it will save many more lives than it will destroy, right? That's what they're saying. We think it is going to save more people than it is destroyed. If severe illness and or death is a potential result that would give cause to pause before taking the vaccine, I can understand it. No one wants to die while taking steps to try to stay alive. Yet, a low death rate and a low severe illness rate is perceived as favorable and can even be accepted, can even be expected, but a very low percent, right? It can be expected. That a very low percent occurring in the population, a very low percent of the population, right? In the grand scheme of things, that may be mathematically greater, but in the reality of the individuals who suffer an adverse reaction to the vaccine, it is simply a risk they are not willing to take, even though they and their loved ones have taken a similar risk after receiving previous vaccines. Because you're taking a risk every time you put a foreign substance in your body. Anyway, back to the article, The Verge. The FDA groups medical devices into three classes based on a list of risks associated with their use, right? They got class 1 and 2. They don't necessarily need to be approved to be marketed. If they're a brand new low-risk product, they can potentially get something called a de novo classification. Others can be cleared by the FDA if they can show that they are similar enough to products that have already been reviewed. Ain't that something? So they FDA not even looking at everything. These guys worry about the FDA approval. They looked at this vaccine, and I'm not trying to say get it, don't get it. I'm saying, as my cousin said, that's your choice. Make your own decision. Gather your own information and do what you think is best for you. Right? Now that these people's jobs are being threatened, what's best for them might change. That's the whole premise behind threatening their livelihood. Lose their house, lose their car, somebody can take your kids because you can't take care of them, or you got to go to welfare and all that good stuff.
So, then they have products like pacemakers, which are Class B devices that are only ones which require FDA approval before they can be put on the market. All right, so it's your choice, right? And it's this employer's choice, right, not to allow you to work, to release you if you don't get this vaccine. All employers are not doing that. But the question is, if you haven't been vaccinated, what is it? The question is, to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated? That's our topic for the night. What do you do? What do you think? Should you? Shouldn't you? Why? Why not? We have another caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, Carl, it's Carol. I was calling. I know you're talking about employees. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Carol.
I know you've been talking about
employees mandating people to be vaccinated, and that's usually the way things are handled. From what I've read, it was the government won't institute it, but the job will institute it, number one. Number two, the other issue aside from employment would be people entering into establishments that are requiring vaccination of their employees, such as the supermarket, just things that you would need to do for everyday living, you know. So that's another issue, you know, which people would be restricted.
Right. They're going to make it uncomfortable for you to live unless you get the shot.
Right. If you had the shot, and they've done that already. I think they've had some games. I'm not sure which sport. I don't know if it was what kind of game it was, but they had a section that was supposedly sectioned off for people who were vaccinated.
In the supermarket?
You know, they got there. No, at an arena, like at some game, some sport.
Oh.
In which those people who were vaccinated, they had a section for them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's almost like you're villainized if you don't get the vaccine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're being punished. But I remember one time listening to a woman, and in her case, none of her children were vaccinated. Why? Because they were healthy. And her premise was healthy people don't get sick, you know, and she really didn't understand why people would be angry because her kids were not vaccinated. You see, because her kids were more at risk. Well, they're not even at risk. If you're healthy, you're less likely to get sick.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So that
right.
was her premise. You know, those, you know, even though the people in the uproar, they're not vaccinated. Actually, their kids were not healthy and they were susceptible to getting whatever they get. You know, her children never had chickenpox, none of that. Those childhood diseases because they were healthy. You know, she had them on a particular diet, you know, no meat. I think it was a plant-based diet.
I'm going to assume that they weren't exposed to all these diseases.
Say what?
I'm going to assume that they weren't exposed to diseases.
Well, they went to school. No, I think she homeschooled them after a while, you know. But the people, she homeschooled her kids, yeah.
Right, so they had less exposure, so that also contributes to their health. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't know, but the premise is, and even that's the same premise with the COVID-19. The healthy people don't get it. It attacks people who have comorbidities, you know, hypertension, you know, you name those type of things. Those people are more at risk to get it and have more severe symptoms because they are, quote, unquote, sickly. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, they're weak.
They're healthy people. Right. Their immune system is weak. And whereas if somebody is healthy, you know, they might not get it at all. You know, or get it, be asymptomatic. I don't know. But they're not going to exhibit the same symptoms as somebody that has a lot of comorbidities, you know, that put them at risk for having a severe case of COVID.
Right. So, you know, let me ask you this. So children, they say children don't really get this. Is that right? Did they say something like that?
Yes. Children
young
get
children?
Unhealthy kids get sick. If you're unhealthy, if the kid is unhealthy, they get sick.
Okay. All right. And all the older people are more susceptible because their immune system is more compromised because they're elderly?
Right. And plus, you know, you got so many other variables involved in that, why people get sick, diet, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
You know, there's so many things to make you sick on top of those things such as viruses and stuff, like the environment, you know, and things like that.
Right. That's interesting. Like I said, you know, speaking about how some people don't get it, like a husband and wife can have COVID. And, like, you know, I've never haven't heard anybody talk about that, but. What is that all about?
I don't know. And then, you know, up in Canada, they had in the, I don't know if it's true, but it was on Google, saying that it had been approved for them to give, to mix the vaccines together, which is just crazy.
Right, I heard that.
Right.
So, the, these workers, I just used that as a premise for this show. These workers, they are refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccine because...
Yeah, I heard you, and they had
no FDA approval.
June 21st?
Yeah, June 1st. The job, you know, they won't be able to feed themselves unless they got some money saved up. They own their house, they won't have to worry about that. They have to pay the taxes. They can go shopping until their money runs out or they find another job somewhere that's not a requirement. That's not a requirement. But, you know, seems to me that's gonna that's probably gonna make change some people's mind.
I don't know. I know I worked in the healthcare environment, and just take the flu shot for instance. Some people refused it, you know, and the only requirement was for that season, flu season, which they say starts from October to March, they were required to wear a mask during that whole time. They didn't get fired, but they were required to wear a mask that whole time.
Okay. So,
and then the question...
Go ahead. You want to finish?
I'm just saying, like, the question for me, you get vaccinated does not exclude you from getting COVID.
Right.
You know, the premise is that you will have a less severe case of it. It shouldn't be a fatal case.
Right.
You know, so you can have people, as far as I'm concerned, who are vaccinated, catch COVID, and still walking around, you know, unmasked or whatever the case may be, still spreading it, you know.
Right. So the vaccination itself, you're saying it's not, I mentioned that, it's not eradicating the disease, and they are saying that it can't. They don't have a way to eradicate the disease, but it's going to lessen the chance you end up in a hospital on a respirator, you know, or dying. So,
I think
but
the,
you
way,
still
the way you get rid of, the way you would get rid of it is by really people changing their, you know, it's changing our lifestyle and eating healthier. Because there's so many other things out here. I'll give you an example. There was a case of a young guy who went to work, wasn't feeling well, went home early, okay? His wife happened to come home. When she found him, he was on the floor unresponsive. And when they brought him in, this guy ended up having bacterial meningitis. Now, to me, I'm like, wow. So within that environment, wherever he went to work, somebody had that bacteria. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they were walking around asymptomatic, you know, might have coughed, sneezed, did whatever they did, and he picked it up. But you didn't have a whole lot of cases of people coming.
Right.
You didn't have a whole lot of cases of people coming in with that diagnosis, just this one person. But I'm sure he wasn't the only one exposed. You understand what I'm saying? But he picked it up. He probably was run down from working. You know, just if you went over his whole little thing, the guy was run down, you know, working. And he was a young guy. I think he was only like 42. So I just thought that was interesting how he picked it up and not other people who were also in that environment, they didn't pick it up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So that might be part of the rationalization why these medical professionals are not getting the vaccine. That might be supporting their decision.
The thing with the vaccine is that it has not been tested. This is almost like the globally, it seems like you just have this general petri dish, which are the people. You see what I'm saying? It hasn't been tested long enough for you to even know the outcome of the vaccine in and of itself, let alone it dealing with the virus. How is it going to affect you in the long run? They don't have any data on that.
Okay.
There's no data on that.
Do they have evidence that it's helping, that is, you know, reducing this virus from spreading?
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't even know how they would test that. Number one, the original test even diagnosed you for the disease does not look for the disease itself, the virus itself. It looks for a gene sequence and something about an increase in a gene sequence, but that gene sequence is not just limited to COVID. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's already been told that the test that they use to test for COVID was not designed for that. That's what the person who made it said, it's being used inappropriately. You know, yet they've done nothing to change the testing. They continue with their testing, and I think I was reading something that you sent where they were saying that originally when they were testing it, remember they had a high grade, which in using that particular format, methodology, what happens was they had a lot of false positives. So then they had to lower. I think the number was 40, and then they had dropped it down to 30. You know, so who knows? And then we also know with a lot of people, it was determined that all of a sudden medical doctors cannot diagnose somebody who's dead, that they need to take instructions from the CDC, that anybody who died during this course of COVID was listed as COVID, even if you were in a car accident, a gunshot wound, you know.
Right.
They listed your death as COVID, you know. So.
Well, the caller said that the vaccine was helping prevent the spread of COVID-19 with the elderly. And it says here in an article that the AstraZeneca vaccine trial were a mix of lucky and cautious, but simple blood tests made it clear that the Oxford vaccine generated a strong immune response in the elderly. So normal science suggests the elderly who get the Oxford vaccine are going to have a lot of antibodies to fight off serious COVID-19 infection. So that was one of the trials. But, you know, as you said, we haven't had a lot of time to see what this the three vaccines
but I
do.
Think that, then you got a lot of politics going on here, because as far as all vaccines, they have all been responsible for some deaths. Number one. Number two, they highly publicized the effect of people receiving the AstraZeneca. I think that was the one that caused people to get clots. And because of that...
Was that in the elderly?
They didn't... I'm not sure. They didn't really identify, but that was one of the major side effects of getting the AstraZeneca, was that it caused the clots. Ergo, they stopped... they said, we're going to hold off giving this vaccine. That was over in Europe. Over here in the United States, I think the ones that they had initially were the Moderna and the Pfizer. And then the J&J came out.
Right. That's correct. You're right, because the U.S. has not approved this for use in the U.S. But
and then with the J&J, my understanding was that the J&J was
Johnson & Johnson.
The J&J was made in a facility alongside the AstraZeneca, and then they had some contamination, which they stated they caught. So, you know, supposedly they had caught it. However, they reported that a certain age group of women, I think it was in the 20s, the 60s or something, maybe like 24 to 60, maybe like five women since they initiated on the use of this, had issues with clots. And I think two might have been fatal or something like that. But
right.
The other ones were serious, you know, had some serious side effects from it.
Right. So they had some, already had some coexisting, as you said, coexisting elements going on with the health elements with them.
No, I'm saying that batch probably was, I thought it was interesting that there was a contamination of J&J. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so we had a conjunctive, non-conjunctive, conjunctive contamination, something added to it through the process of making it, which caused it to be harmful, right?
I'm thinking that they mixed something from the AstraZeneca. Why? Because they were made in the same place.
Oh, I see.
Cross-contamination.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Right.
Right.
Which ended up with them having the same issue, which was clots. I thought that was interesting. And I'm almost wise that it was deliberate. You understand what I'm saying? I can't prove it, and they never really talked about it, but I'm thinking that probably was deliberate. Why? Because once J&J came out, it was a one-time deal. Most people probably want the one-time deal. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, that's right. You only want to get
and
need
so
a one.
It went on hold. Remember, they put it on hold and all this stuff like that. And I think as of now, it's been okay.
One is way back, I think. Right. Okay, we're running out of time. Okay. Thank you for calling in. Thank all callers for calling in. All listeners, listening, please do your own research. All right, don't just take my word for it or the word of the authors of the articles that I'm reading. Do your own research and make your own decision. Because as my cousin says, it's your choice, it's your decision. Until next week, everybody, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Park without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.